Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed the light on the darkened corridors of power and we shine a light ahead of us to the path where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center, to face the music and dance together, to address problems rather than defend positions. We have another purpose as well, and that's to provide context at a time when the content can be contradictory, confusing, and overwhelming. As we enter a new year and hopefully a new time, the contrast between the way things are right now and the way we know they can be, well, let's say that they are stark and deep. In this tale of two paradigms, it is the best of times and the worst of times. No wonder so many people are asking, what the dickens is going on? Well, in some ways, human consciousness is ready to grasp the idea of unity. And meanwhile, human unconsciousness seems to want to pull us into the abyss and into the illusion of separation. Meanwhile, here we are in the 20-teens, and we're celebrating 50th anniversaries. 2 years ago, it was the Summer of Love, 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love. This year, it's Woodstock, 50th anniversary of the Woodstock Festival. Our guest this week is here to talk about a new festival that has emerged to bring together the imaginal cells of a new generation at a time when humankind, without the kindness, sits atop the endangered and the endangering species list. And this time, unlike Woodstock, there is a worldwide movement, an upwising, if you will, people waking up and wising up, looking to bring together awakening youth, indigenous people, and aware elders to bring unity out of diversity. Instead of focusing on the identity issues that keep us separate, this festival is working together around the identical issues that unite us, like clean air, clean water, clean food, and clean government. The actual event is called Unity Earth Liftoff, and it's being billed as a, quote, multi-generational, intercultural, interactive concert in celebration of UN World Interfaith Harmony Week, and will be held on February 2nd, 2019, at the United Palace in New York City. Now, I find it very fitting that the organizers have picked February 2nd, Groundhog Day, here in the States, which in our turbulent times we have renamed Manhog Day. If we fail to see our shadow, two more years of darkness, okay? Now, our guest this week is Adam Collette. He's an Australian native who is the project manager for Unity Earth Liftoff and who shares a compelling and much-needed vision to create a movement of movements to unify and mobilize those who are ready for a partnership civilization as opposed to living by the lowest common denominator as we have for the past several thousand years. Adam is an event producer. He's a cultural liaison and social impact designer from Byron Bay, Australia. He was inspired by his mother's stories from her attendance at the 1969 Woodstock Festival. We'll talk a little about that. And Adam has been on a lifelong pursuit to inspire change through transformative events and community initiatives that have the power to deliver tangible outcomes on a local and global scale. He's been working closely with First Nation elders, global youth leaders, earth regenerators, and he's dedicated to combining innovative models and technologies with a deep respect for the culture of local people and places. As I said, he's the project manager for Unity Earth Liftoff. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure it is to be here with you.
I'm glad you're here. And so let's jump right in. Tell us about Unity Earth. I love the concept. It's an I do as time has come. What's Unity Earth about, and how do you think it will impact our current world? And here's a new word for our condition, situation at this time. Tell us about Unity Earth.
Yeah, thank you so much, Steve. And Unity Earth is essentially, we're a space, and seeing what we can do to help really grow a worldwide movement towards unity and peace, particularly because we understand there are so many incredible, inspiring individuals and groups and organizations out there in the world that are all doing their part to create positive change and transformative impact, whether it's in their local community or on regional, national, or global scales. And we're just really feeling this momentum and the alignment in the time to really, as you said, help, you know, try and create a movement of movements and see if we can just empower every single piece of this puzzle as it comes together. So we're really just interested in building this kind of network on a global scale that can essentially elevate everybody's vision into a space where if we all agree we're heading in a certain direction, we can all just work on our coherence together and empower each other.
You know, that sounds really, really terrific and really important, because we have a sense that in our heart of hearts, we know that this is possible. And yet so many people have tried to put something like this together. What do you think has been the obstacle until now, and why do you think this is the time?
Yeah, I totally agree. And having really, as you said, it's been a lifelong pursuit to help make a difference in some way. And I have seen things come and go and start and stop. And in the end, it just comes down to sometimes you feel as though the time is right. And we know that, you know, we aren't any more special than anyone else, or the organization, you know, is just sort of coming along at this time where we feel like there is a momentum with the trends that are happening internationally. Both the negative and the positive trends. And I think that's the really key point, is there seems to be this confluence of forces where the people of the world are asking for something that can lift us up into a new elevated place. And I think that we're really just responding to that need, whether it's a need with our neighbor, or a need with the town, or a need in our nation to bring new voices forward. I think that, in essence, this is really just a response to what is brewing, you know, from the underbelly of humanity.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that one of the things that I've picked up on recently, there's a famous quote from President Eisenhower from about 60 years ago, where he said that there's going to come a time when the people of the world want peace so much that their governments are going to have to give it to them. And I think that we are now at that point where I think that we have a critical mass of the uncritical masses who are looking for the kinds of movements that are going to bring us together. And, you know, we've seen the Yellow Vest movement in Paris, and a number of other things that have been attempts to coalesce. I like that you use the word coherent, because that's really what's required. You know, we know there's a certain vibration of love, a vibration of oneness, and so on. And it sounds like an abstract, but when you've experienced it, it's very real. So tell us about this festival that you're putting together in February, and how that might how you see that making a difference locally and globally.
Yeah, thank you. And coherence is so true, because in essence, what Unity Earth is able to do at the moment that does feel a bit unique is bring together very diverse groups that maybe haven't been showcased in the same sense, or maybe haven't aligned in a certain way. So Unity Earth is right now in the middle of what we've called the Road to 2020, which is a series of transformative events all over the world that are really designed to bring together those diverse groups, whether it be Indigenous leaders, youth, people who are in from the ecological, movement, to interfaith groups, artists, scientists, musicians. So the Road to 2020 is essentially this opportunity to catalyze not just the overall movement, but all of the component parts. So each of those groups that may have been operating on their own can suddenly be part of this network to amplify not just their message and their voice, but to share resources and to share opportunities. So events are such a powerful way. You know, we'll talk more about Woodstock, you know, this incredible, powerful way that for, you know, the tens and hundreds of thousands of years that we've been around, gathering people has always been a way to create not just the idea of unity and harmony, but, you know, to be these sort of stepping stones, you know, or portals into new eras for humanity. So this Road to 2020 is now leading us to New York City, which, as many people would think of as, you know, the capital of the world in some sense. And this is coming on the back of events in Africa and Ethiopia. There was a U-Day festival with the African Union over there, working with the United Religions Initiative, an incredible group that operates globally. There was incredible events in Australia, this Return to Country of Mungo Man, which was a 40,000-year-old Australian ancestor whose bones were just returned to his ancestral homeland, and Unity Earth produced a celebration concert to support the local people there. We just hosted one in my hometown in Byron Bay called Fields of Healing, which was a gathering of all the Indigenous elders combined with the Unity Earth delegation. And in essence, this series is now leading to New York for what we've called the liftoff. So the Unity Earth liftoff, which is really an opportunity for us to go public in a new sense and showcase the movement to both catalyze the Road to 2020 and also to officially launch what will be the culminating event, which is the Caravan of Unity across America in September 2020. So that'll be a 20-day tour from San Francisco through to New York and ending on International Day of Peace in 2020 in New York City.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it's very interesting when you actually get together and do these things and you actually have people meet one another and learn from one another. You know, we're also very educated, and yet it's always amazing to find out what we don't know. A few months ago, I interviewed Stephen Newcomb, who is a Native American and also an attorney who has written extensively on the doctrine of discovery, which is, you know, the papal bull that was issued 500 and something years ago, almost 600 years ago, essentially letting the conquistadors know that whatever they wanted to take, provided that these people were not Christians, they're really not people, and they could take anything that they want and quote-unquote discover it. And so we are now in the process of, thank you for celebrating and including Indigenous people in this event, because that really, we have been so blind to domination. We've thought of it, we Western people have thought of it as the way things are, but it's not the way things are. It's the way that we've created it to benefit ourselves in the short run. So I like the idea of all of these groups getting together and learning from one another. I was curious about your learning as a child about Woodstock and how that impacted you. Tell us a little more about that, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, even in the process of discovery and rediscovery, and we seem to be going back now to attempt to rediscover these ancient ways and these ancient peoples, and this new generation of young people really is going back and seeking out culture and seeking out the elders, and in a way that is really reminiscent to me of the youth in 1969 who all were pulled in like a magnet to Woodstock, seeking something new, you know, and sort of attempting to rediscover something that had been lost in the society that they'd grown up in the post-war society. So for me, I happened to be a 12-year-old boy living in Brizzy, Australia, and my mother, who was American, let me stay up late one night to watch the Woodstock movie. And in one instant, she told me all of her stories as a 16-year-old from New Jersey who hitchhiked barefoot to this festival in 1969 and got there Thursday afternoon and left on Saturday because they were so hungry because there was no food. And Essentially, I realized two things in that moment. One is that my mother is the coolest, and two, I wanted to, in some way, recreate or replicate Woodstock in my life and in the world. And as a 12-year-old, I instantly just really started moving towards writing songs for peace. And even though I, you know, got to do the teenage thing, I think it never left me, that initial inspiration. And so eventually I did get into event production and venue management and community development in these ways of, at first, you know, we always think let's try and get a million people together and make it look just like that. And finally, in the last 7 years, particularly through my work with the Indigenous elders and peoples, I've realized that the Woodstock of today is going to look very different. And it probably isn't actually going to be one event, but how can we integrate the spirit of Woodstock into all the things that we do, whether they're events or our community work. So at this point, you know, Unity Earth and the transformational events we do, I think have a direct lineage straight back to Woodstock itself. And I'm just so excited, not just because I get to fulfill in some tiny capacity, you know, the opportunity to bring this kind of energy. I just am so humbled to be able to work with a lot of incredible youth leaders around the world. So to think of the youth of 1969 that really helped bring, you know, that type of voice back to their generation, the voice that's returning now with the youth these days and what we can do when we bring them together with the elders and then with all these other incredible groups is going to be something, you know, perhaps just as or if not more transformative than the festival was in 1969.
You know, I think back in those days, I don't think there was the kind of connection. Oh, we're taking a short break right now. We'll be back with Adam Collette. We'll be talking about the Unity Earth events and how we're taking Woodstock into the new century. Steve Behrman, I'm on Wiki Politiki. We'll be back after these messages.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Well, good. Hi, this is Steve Bameron. We're back on WikiPolitiki with our guest, Adam Collette. We're talking about the Unity Earth Festival. And I want to go back to something you were talking about, your own history, Adam. How was it that you got interested in and involved with indigenous people?
Yeah, it's actually been one of the most mysterious and powerful pieces of my puzzle. And that is, you know, after spending so long, decades, really thinking about this idea of Woodstock and events and bringing people together, it wasn't until, you know, about 7 or 8 years ago that I was in New York City and just had, I guess, the luck and the blessing to be able to come across some Native American, South American elders. And just as so many of us are who don't have access to that level of lineage and culture, I was so blown away with the depth, you know, of their understanding and wisdom and their connection to all of creation. And so I really began to study with a few of them here. And just when I moved back to my hometown of Byron Bay, Australia in 2012, I got there and realized that I'd never connected with the elders of my own country, you know, of Australia. So I just felt on this mission. And I talked to some people and met someone and got invited out to this little tiny town, a speck on the map called Tabulum, 2 hours inland from Byron Bay, my hometown, and went to a meeting and sat around having a yarn, as we would say in Australia. And I happened to sit next to this beautiful Auntie Annabelle Walker, the old grandma. And I talked about my experience in New York. And at the end, she came up to me and she said two things. She said, "I want you to take me to America and we really need help. Our house was flooded and will you come help?" I said, "I'm in, just let me know how I can help." So a few weeks later, I went out and took her out for lunch and I said, "I'm just here to help." And she just wrapped her arms around me and basically adopted me on the spot. And I just never felt that type of warmth, you know, not. And essentially, I just really became part of the family and serving them in whatever way I could. And after, you know, a few months, she started calling me one of the sons. And then really wasn't until later on I actually understood that her husband, and who became my godfather, Pop Harry Mundine Walker, was actually this incredible chief of the wild all people and of the region there. So I sort of had this incredible luck and blessing to be adopted by some very esteemed people. And from that, I began working with all the different Aboriginal tribes around my region and just serving whatever way I could, being a bridge, you know, to the white world, but also using my skill sets in events and technology to really facilitate, you know, transformative community change, whether it was restarting Aboriginal Corporation in Tabulum there to help the elders support their own community, or throwing these types of Field of Healing Unity Earth events. So for me, it's been by far the most powerful connection that I've had, and I just have such incredible, immense honour for what the First Nations peoples are carrying.
You know, and a new way, there's this really a new way of looking at this. You know, back in the day, it was very much more paternalistic, that somehow the Western people would be offering these poor people who need to be more civilized, we'll offer them ways of learning more of our ways, we'll help them out. And clearly, in a certain regard, our civilization is being revealed as the more juvenile, adolescent civilization. And these people have been able to keep their – I mean, I find it remarkable that over millennia, these people have been able to keep their tradition in some way. I mean, not everybody, of course, but it sounds like the people, the wisdom keepers that you've been in working with, have been able to do that. What, for yourself personally, what do you think the most important thing that you've integrated or learned as part of working with these elders?
Yeah, you know, Steve, I actually think it's very much what you're saying, in that to take the British landing in Australia 200 years ago and thinking that they'll civilize these savages when they basically stumbled upon probably the most successful civilization in the history of humanity, you know, that lived relatively harmoniously and had a very sophisticated life and cultivated incredible, you know, lands and had these incredibly sophisticated systems of marriage law and medicine and spirituality. And I guess that it was the opposite. They probably thought we'd like to civilize these Brits that are coming and landing. And so I think that's the thing for me is, I do have some Maori, New Zealand indigenous blood in me as a small part, but essentially as a white fella coming into contact. And it's that first wave. And in essence, I was still playing out, the colonialist mindset of just what you said, coming in and saying, I'm going to come and fix your problems. And here, you need a website. You need this. Let me bring my fancy white fella technologies and save the day. And just really not getting very far and looking around at a whole bunch of other people who went in that mindset and sort of got kicked out and never went back. And I was just really lucky that I just persisted and realized that, it might take me 6 years of making cups of tea and trips to the hospital and showing up again and again to get that one little snippet of wisdom that will completely transform my life. And I think that it really completely changed the way I thought about learning, especially, understanding wisdom for life and understanding things on different timelines. I mean, when you sit with these elders that have been handed wisdom that's been given them, for thousands of generations, and it's time scales we can't really think of. So they see things come and go in these ways. And for me, it's given me an incredible amount of perspective and patience. And from that has given me the resilience to do this work, this kind of transformative work in the world, which really does require that type of patience.
And there's a certain kind of patience and also presence. We live in a time of short attention spans in this particular world that we're in. And what is it like to be you used the word bridge. What is it like to be a bridge between these two worlds? And how do you, is there a way that you decompress and recompress? How do you bridge those worlds?
Yeah, and it's something that's interesting for me personally, because people, I have a unique opportunity, to do this kind of work, and it's can be both an incredible blessing, but it is inherently challenging to be caught between competing worlds and mindsets and expectations. And that I really have a lot of appreciation for the diplomats of our world and the peacemakers and the ambassadors and such, because even the small little bits that I've done, this is really one of the most important elements when we talk about the concepts of how do we actually unify humanity? How do we bring together groups that have been at war with each other? Even if it's just they've been arguing for 5 years over the fence and haven't talked. So for me, from what I've learned in being a bridge between cultures, I'm now being able to bring that into the Unity Earth context. And it's part of why Unity Earth has this momentum, is because we're really not interested in holding or controlling or being the central point for anything. We're merely just interested in creating models that can be bridges to unite people, whether it's 2 people or 10 people or, as we would hope, 7 billion plus people around the world eventually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about being a bridge and the indigenous, we're so many in our civilization. I love that quote, by the way, from Gandhi, who supposedly he was asked, "What do you think of Western civilization?" He said, "I think it would be a good idea." let's try it. we live in the entire aspect of Western colonization, but certainly a big part of it has been extraction and exploitation, and it's taking and taking and taking. We have an entire economy that has taken from the earth and hasn't put back. It hasn't restored. How do you see the lessons that the indigenous people, First Nations as you call them, have played in showing us the way to be restorative and sustainable at this time?
Yeah, it's why I really do put I put this sentence in front of people and see how it sits sometimes, and it's that more and more people are understanding, you know, that honouring, you know, the First Nations, the Indigenous peoples is important. But in essence, from, you know, my small lifetime of experience, is that it's actually become the most important thing, and that there is something about acknowledging that these people were here before a lot of us, and that they have, like you said, maintained this connection that is really beyond anything that we can comprehend, you know, in Western society, to have many civilizations that were just had never lost that connection that went all the way back to the beginning. And to talk to the Aboriginal elders and you ask, you know, oh, well, how old is that story? And they say, goodable, goodable, you know, it's actually, there is no time. It goes all the way back to the beginning. So there's a depth and a richness that you have to just sit in awe and wonder. And as we know, you know, in a lot of different teachings, it's the beauty and the awe and the wonder that opens humans up into that experience of oneness and connection with each other and with nature. And it's just this something that's inherent in the elders and in the peoples, is they've always thought of the rivers and the trees and the mountains and the oceans and the birds and creator and all of creation just as always being this beautiful symphony. And Western society has lost that connection in so many ways that it's hard to take, you know, the baby steps back, and we'll never get to go back is the thing. It's beautiful to be able to sit and learn, you know, little threads, you know, that have been maintained. But in essence, mm-hmm. that's the real gift, is they understand this, you know, is that they have wisdom to bring to the table, and we have wisdom to bring to the table. And it's that if we are actually all interested in being bridges to something that is beyond us, like, where is that bridge going? And is there a direction that we can all agree on? And let's, you know what, go there together.
Yeah, you know, that seems like, of course, natural common sense. And yet, you know, in Western civilization, where you grew up in Australia, and certainly where we've grown up here in the country, in the USA, there's been the emphasis on the individual, you know, individual achievement, individual fulfillment. The individual has been, in a certain regard, taken out of the context of community. You know, we've gone from what we call the front porch society to the backyard society, and people don't know their neighbors, and so on. And we've been blind to that. We don't even recognize consciously often that something is missing. When you begin to reintroduce these connections, I mean, can you describe in your own psychic terrain some things that you've integrated from being around people who think many, many more than seven generations and behind and seven generations ahead?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I like that. It's kind of the connective tissue, you know, that's gone missing, and the nuclear family in the nuclear age, and even being back here in New York and walking into apartment buildings where people don't know their next door neighbors that they share a wall with. But then you go out on the street and you have access to everything you could possibly imagine. And so you think that you're living in this paradise, and you think that you have everything and you're so blessed. And then I go to Tabulum, where, you know, I go out there and there's violence and there's drugs and there's all of these horrible things that are left over from colonialization. But, you know, grandma says to the kid, all right, go down the street to your auntie's house and we'll see you later. In New York, you know, the parents can't go anywhere because they can't get a babysitter because they don't know their next door neighbor. You know, so there's this beauty in what you're saying, the community and in the family, and these values that were just inherent in the civilization. This was the building blocks of their communities and families. Still is a thread that they have, and that is really the thread that we've lost in the West, is that family and that sense of community.
If you go back 80 years or so, when my parents were kids, you know, they grew up in New York City in poor neighborhoods and tenements in New York. Nobody locked their doors. You know, my dad had six aunts who had children. If you didn't like it over at this house, you go to cousin such and such's house and stay there for a little bit. Seriously. And everybody, you know, kids walked the street with impunity because everybody knew one another. Even when I was a little kid in one of those neighborhoods, imagine being 5 years old and walking out the apartment door and going down the street to the bakery, et cetera, et cetera. And everybody along the way go, that's Stevie. That's, Dottie and Louie's son. And, being known in that regard and being safe. Catherine Austin Fitz has called it the popsicle factor. You know, how safe is a child walking out of their apartment and going down the street to get a popsicle? And we don't have that very much in this culture. And I think only it's only perhaps seeing it in other people, communities that have those that infrastructure that's been invisible here. After our little break, I want to talk more about the actual event happening on February 2nd. We want to get as many people finding out about that and knowing about it. And anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes after these messages with Adam Collette. We're talking about Unity Earth. Steve Behrman on Wiki Politiki Radio.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network. Presenting transformative programs and events to help you awaken to your full potential so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, Steve Behrman. We're back on WikiPolitiki with our guest, Adam Collette. We're talking about Unity Earth, an update, upgrade, a resonant of the Woodstock Festival. It's going to be taking place in New York City. At least the next phase is the liftoff event. It's going to be on February 2nd, Groundhog Day here. A lot we can say about that. Tell us about the event itself, Adam, and who's going to be presenting, performing, et cetera.
Yeah, so we actually, first of all, are just incredibly humbled and blessed to be able to bring the Unity Earth movement to the United Palace, which is this incredible historic theater in Washington Heights in uptown Manhattan, which was originally a vaudeville movie theater, which has now been turned into this remarkable spiritual artistry center. So there are a host of all different interfaith movements and groups and things. So we're going to be bringing this to Washington Heights into this incredible theater. And we have a Saturday afternoon on February 2nd from sort of 3 to 6:30 p.m., which will really be, you know, a spectacular of unity and peace. So opening up with Chief Dwayne Perry, Ramapo Lenape Elder, and some visiting elders, Mindahi Bastia from Mexico, Chief Phil Lane Jr., Lila June, incredible Dene poet and activist. And then this remarkable concert and performance, including Bella Gaia. So they do this NASA-powered live concert that's blending music and technology and satellite imagery, like essentially illuminating our interconnectedness, you know, and turning the stage planetary. It's quite a remarkable experience. Also have this incredible local and international musician, so Pato Banton, who's a British reggae legend, Mystic Voice from China, incredible meditative chanting, and then just these local like superheroes, holistic hip-hop legend, Akim Funk Buddha. If you've never seen him, he merges hip-hop and dance and movement. Mm-hmm. Extraordinary. Juilliard trained vocalist Kristen Hoffman, incredible angelic singer who's a big member of the Unity Earth movement globally. Also William Ruiz, who's a local Taino Caribbean Spanish drummer. So essentially with all these musicians, plus the Indigenous elders, and then guest speakers like Karenna Gore from the Center for Earth Ethics, Al Gore's mm-hmm. daughter, Jean Houston, and you know, and then delegations from Africa and the Middle East. And it will be this, you know, incredible global showcase of unity and peace, pretty much like, you know, something that we haven't ever really seen.
How many people can you fit in that theater venue?
Yeah, it's actually the fourth largest theater in New York. We have room for, you know, we're looking for, you know, if we'd love to have 1,000 people come and join us, and if we get more, then there's room for more. They have a balcony upstairs. We just would love to see people come out, and we've made the tickets just $20 for general admission for all people. So we really want it to be accessible both to the local population, to anyone who's out there listening. If you have people that are interested in any of these transformative movements or unity or Indigenous or anything, there'll be something for everybody, and absolutely 100% all ages, you know, really built for youth and for kids to have an incredible time too.
Wow, that sounds amazing, and making it, yeah, these are the kinds of things that, it's $300 a ticket. I mean, you want to go to a ball game here in San Francisco, it's very expensive, or a Broadway show, forget that. This is international performers and presenters that people are not going to really get a chance to see in this kind of context, except at this one-off event. Are you going to be recording or broadcasting or live streaming this as well?
Yeah, it's another very exciting part is working with some fantastic partners in the Unity Earth Network. So the Compassion Games, Global Acts of Kindness, John Raymer from the Compassion Games is part of our broadcast team. The group from Unify, they do a lot of incredible conscious media. Mm-hmm. So we will be broadcasting the liftoff live. As part of this World Harmony Week broadcast, which will be going on from February 1 through February 7. So that Saturday afternoon slot, 3 to 6:30, people are in New York and they want to come, love to see you there. If not, anyone, wherever you're listening, we will be live online.
And by the way, we'll give the link to the event. It's on the Wiki Politiki site on Om Times Radio broadcasting now. And then we'll have Unity Earth also listed on my Wiki Politiki page that will be in the archives as of tomorrow. So, you know, we'll be able to hopefully not just promote this, but really gather people and momentum for this entire movement. So obviously this is a liftoff, and you're looking at this 2020. Let's say more about the arc of this project between February 2nd and then what are you calling it? Is it a caravan in 2020?
Yeah, and that's really the invitation. It is an invitation for everybody to join us on this journey in some capacity. If it's come to the show, be inspired, or if it's, you know, if you're doing something incredible with your group, to talk to us about the Unity Earth Network. But in essence, we just want to create points of engagement for everybody, not just to be able to come and be witness this and to feel a part of this, but to be empowered in their hearts and in their work and in their communities. So from the liftoff, we're going to be building out the Unity Earth Network as a, you know, real global movement towards, you know, worldwide unity and peace. So there'll be all sorts of ways to engage online, digitally, and in other little ways. But then the Road to 2020 series is going to take a huge turn to India. So this November in India, we have a 12-day, three-city, you know, essentially a tour of unity around India, visiting all these different interfaith sacred sites and having ceremony in different places. And we will have, you know, the Unity Earth Global Delegation be joining us and people coming from all over. So I think that's, you know, that's going to be an extraordinary event. And then from that, we're moving to Jerusalem, Jordan and Palestine in for Interfaith Harmony Week next year, February 1 through 7, and looking at doing what we've called the U-Day Festivals, both in India and in the Holy Land in 2020. And those two big key feature events will then lead into this caravan of unity across America, which we see as, you know, essentially the culminating event for this Road to 20 series, which started in 2016 and is being given a real boost here at the liftoff in New York. But that caravan will be, you know, as we've already started to dream up a little bit, and many, many different people have had similar visions, and that's what Unity Earth really believes in, is bringing everybody's vision to the fore. And if we're all headed in the same direction, then let's do it all together, because we'll only really get there together. So this caravan, this tour across America, will be extraordinary, from September 1, San Francisco, visiting sacred sites, visiting cities, different events here, there, and everywhere, and ending up somewhere in New York City, maybe Central Park, who knows, but we'll find out exactly where we'll land on International Day of Peace, which were many of us and the partners talking about potentially the first planetary holiday, International Day of Peace 2020.
And what day is that? What day is that? What the actual date is, International Day of Peace?
So it's 21st of September every year.
Oh.
Is the International
Day of Peace. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh. That's, you know, it's really interesting
believe,
that. Go ahead.
I believe it's a Monday.
Good, good. The 21st. So that's obviously the equinox as well. You know, it's interesting that here in the USA, we've been very, very insulated from the rest of the world. And symbolically, we have somebody that wants to build a wall, which I always think of a wall as keeping us in rather than keeping others out. How do you see, it looks like at least it looks like things have gone backward here in this country over the past couple of years. What do you see as some of the heartening things that are happening that indicate that really there's a much, much, much larger and bigger flow that's flowing us into coherence together?
Yeah, and in the end, it depends on where you get your news and how much TV you watch, and because there are just absolutely extraordinary things going on. behind the scenes, the millions of people really that are rising up in their own little ways and creating change, whether it's technological innovation or innovations in regenerative farming or in circular economy, turning plastics into products, social enterprise models. And in essence, you look at this young generation, whether it's the high school kids or even younger, they just sort of understand that we need to create the world that we dream of, and not get caught up in a particular pathway that was, maybe coming out of the industrial age and a bit of a holdover. So, I do a lot of incredible youth work, and mostly because the kids are so amazing, it's hard to not work with them. So I'm so inspired by giving them the pathways, particularly pathways into entrepreneurship and social enterprise, because when the young people are given the tools and the techniques and the mentorship to come up with their own solutions to problems in their community or in the world, you see things like the Great Ocean Cleanup and 1,000 other remarkable projects around the world, whether it's sustainability or regeneration. So that's, to me, is the most exciting thing, working with Shiteshwar Martinez and the Earth Guardians and others. And the other one is just, the ecological innovations that are happening, and especially in, food systems and eco-housing and literally creating a life plan for the future. We're on the verge of such breakthroughs in technology, even in renewable energies and these types of things that, the more autonomous we become in our food and in our energy, and the more autonomous we can become in our culture and in the pathways we create for ourselves and for our children. So, it's really, really challenging to look out there in the world and see so many people suffering. And it's what really drives me every day, is to think of the kids in Yemen and even the kids here. And there is so much work that we have to do, but I've got to tell you, the groundswell that is happening and the positivity that is happening and what I'm seeing now being manifest through the Unity Earth Network, as a space for all of these things to come to fruition, it gets me up every day, and I'm really very, very excited about what's possible in the next few years.
Well, you're right in the nexus and the hub as a bridge and also as a connector, because you're learning about all of these things and you're seeing that. I think two things that you brought out that are very important I want to leave my listeners with. First of all is, we are an individualistic society, and of course the individual fulfillment is really very important in all ways. What you're suggesting is that as part of a unity movement like this, people can see what they're doing. They can actually contextualize their own life work or work of heart or whatever you want to call it as being part of something bigger rather than isolated. We do have a need for a new kind of social network that doesn't extract information from us, that's not commercialized, but really allow people who are up to something to connect with one another. Are there aspects of Unity Earth that will allow people from all over the place to essentially tap into this communal connection?
Yeah, 100%. And that's really the heart and the dream behind this is both building a Unity Earth network for groups and organizations affecting positive change, but also the Unity Earth community for individuals to be able to connect, to even just learn, even just to feel supported. But mostly it's that putting the different pieces together, and that's what I love to do, is just put two people together who should be working together, and watching them go out and change the world is extraordinary. So we're really dedicated at Unity Earth to sort of building a really open source model and architecture so that we can not just bring people into the network, but we can just create this outpouring of resources and support and points of engagement. That I would love for 7+ billion people, if we want to bring everyone together, what are the actual system design processes and models that we can do that? And we certainly don't know. That's the invitation to everybody to join us on this journey and help us build, the pieces of this movement moving forward.
I think the thing that's really rung throughout this entire interview and also in looking at the website and so on, is the simultaneously the exaltation and the humility involved. And, you know, if it was a number of years ago, it would have been people saying, hey, we have the solution. We're going to impose our brilliant, wise solution on everybody. And really what you're seeing here is, as you said, open source, recognizing that the future is open source. The future is celebrating not knowing, because part of not knowing is discovering, and discovering that together. And everything that you said and everything I've heard today in regards to this organization, this movement, and this event has to do with creating a space for people to invent what needs to be invented without imposing it from the top. So thank you very much, Adam Colette, for joining us today. Is there anything else you want to share? We've got another minute or so left before they play the music.
Yeah, I just love the way you're putting that, and even talking about, you know, the future age of discovery is we are really discovering the way that we can do this together. And so that's the invitation. Anyone who wants to come to www.unity.earth and get in touch with us, we would love to hear from absolutely everybody out there. And just wish, you know, empowerment for everybody in their hearts and their lives, and particularly in the projects and programs that are making a change.
Thank you so much, Adam Colette. Unity Earth, this is Steve Behrman for WikiPolitiki. We'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye for now.